God bless our little kids. I forgot to say thank you from Sulfie and Lori for praying for her. Lori had a surgery on her eye, and it's all better. It's all good. And Lori can see, and she can drive. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. And also, Doris reminded me to tell everybody here that there is lunch afterwards, and there's plenty of food. So you're all invited to come. I have this little story, a true story I want to tell you. It says, a bar in Texas began construction, an expansion of their building to increase their business. In response, the local church started a campaign to block the bar from expanding with petitions and prayers. This is a true story. Work progressed until the grand reopening when lightning struck the bar and it burned to the ground. After the bar burned to the ground by a lightning strike, the church people were rather smug in the outlook, bragging about the power of prayer. That is until the bar owner sued the church on the grounds that the church was responsible for the demise of his building, either through direct or indirect action. In his reply to the court, the church denied all responsibility or any connection to the building's demise. The judge read the true plaintiff's complaint and the defendant's reply. And at the hearing, he commented, I don't know how to decide this, but it appears that we have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire congregation who does not. So, my friends, be careful what you ask for. Are you ready for the sermon this morning? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That's Colossians 3:15. It's coming. How many knows what day it is today? Palm Sunday. And what happened on Palm Sunday? Jesus had done a whole bunch of miracles, including raising Lazarus from the dead. And he was now going to Jerusalem. And all his followers were so excited about what was happening that they put him on a colt, which was a signifying a king who came home from battle and won it. And he rode into Jerusalem, and they all was celebrating and worshiping him as a king. Wow, that's interesting. That the peace, I put it down in the bottom there today. It's Colossians 3:15. Let the peace rule. Okay. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. I want to talk today about peace and thankfulness. How many knows that sometimes you can say there's peace, peace, but there is really no peace? Right? You can dull peace by taking a drink. You dull peace by entertainment. You can dull your life by all kinds of activities. But there is actually only one peace that will stand in the midst of trials and turmoil and the storms. And that is the peace of Jesus. In Luke 19, this is Palm Sunday. And I wanted to just read it together. Luke 19. Hallelujah, Jesus. They brought it, that is the donkey, to Jesus, threw the cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread the cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mountain of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that he had seen. And let's read it together. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And the next part says, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke the disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, that is the heart cry of God. Even you, if on this day, if you would only know what would bring you peace. How many would say, I want to know that peace. I want to walk in it. Amen. And it's like an urgency, Jesus is saying, there's an urgency for you today to know his peace, because you may not encounter it tomorrow. You may be encountering something tomorrow where you would actually need that peace. And if you don't have it, you will not be able to withstand whatever you go through. Amen. There is that urgency. And Jesus actually knew what was coming to Jerusalem. He knew the trials that was going to face. And he saw that they did not see him. The very one that's called the Prince of Peace was in front of them, who could provide eternal peace for every soul in Israel. But they missed the point. My prayer for you and I is that none of us will miss when he walks into our life and offers us his peace. Amen. So I want to share with you a story that I believe is connected to peace. It comes out of Hebrews chapter 4, where the writer of Hebrews talks about an eternal rest. How many believe that peace and rest are connected? When you have peace, there is an inner rest. There is actually a resting place in God that is like peace. There's tranquility. No matter what you face, you can go to that place and you can find that peace. And here in Hebrews, it says, today, God again said a certain day, calling it today. This he did when he, a long time later, he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today. How many says, let's say it together. Today. What is today? It's now. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, or anyone who enters. God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let's therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following the example of disobedience. The whole chapter of Hebrews 4 points to two passages of the Old Testament. One is when Israel is going from Egypt, or where they were slaves, and they were going to the Promised Land, and the Promised Land is a place of rest. And another point that the story is pointing to is Genesis. In Exodus, in Numbers 13 actually, they're coming to the Promised Land. Think of the promises of God as a place of rest. They're coming to the Promised Land. And they send out 12 spies, remember? And 10 comes back and says, it's impossible. 2 comes back and say, it is possible. The resting place, my friends, has to do with faith in Jesus. Do you know that when they said, it is impossible, they were right. They were right. When they said it was impossible for them. But when the two of them, Caleb and Aaron, said it's possible, because what God says, when God says it, it can be done. For them, it became possible. That's called faith, or lack of faith. Because of the lack of faith, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And they never entered. That generation never entered, but the next one did. So today, when you hear the voice of God, do not harden your hearts, because you might miss the very peace that He has for you, so that you don't wander in the desert for the next 40 years. My friends, when they declared that it was not possible, they were right. For them, it did not become possible. But for those who said what God says, it can be done. It became possible. How many likes to be like Caleb and Aaron and Joshua? How many like to have the spirit of Caleb? So, my friends, I want to illustrate the whole point of this sermon with this story. And it came from David Young-Icho. How many have ever heard of David Young-Icho? He is the pastor of the greatest, probably the largest church in the world, close to 1 million people in South Korea. He shared this story. He traveled around the world, and he was in Birmingham, England, many years ago. And he said, he got a phone call. Please come and preach in a local little Pentecostal church. The pastor had a heart attack. It's a Wednesday. He had planned to have rest, but it's okay, I'll do it. He went and preached on a Wednesday night, and after that service, another pastor said, I wanted to stay at an elder's place. And David Young-Icho said, no, I don't want to. I want to go to a hotel. I want to be able to go to the bathroom when I came out of the bathroom. I want to have my own space. He said, no, we want you to go to this elder's place. And a little plump lady came up and said, you're staying in my house. No question. So he said, okay, I will do it. He went to her house, hungry. And she sat down and said, the reason I invited you to come to my house was so you could pray for me. He said, I'm hungry. And she said, we are going broke. My husband and I are about to lose our house. And we work, we work. My husband has two jobs, I have a job, and we cannot pay the bills. And he says, we're this close from the bank to take our possessions. Please pray for us. So he said, well, before we do, let's have a Bible study. Let's turn to Genesis. And so he turned to Genesis, chapter 1. I shared this story yesterday at the Healing Lodge, so Tammy knows what's coming. And he opens the Bible, and he said to her, read it. And so she said, so she started with the first thing that God did. And she said, did God create Adam and Eve? No. He created the light. That was the first thing He did. So what is the next one? Did He create Adam and Eve yet? No. He created the sky. Well, what about the third one? Did He create Adam and Eve yet? No. He created the seed. He created the seed-bearing plants. She, why are you asking me if He created Adam and Eve yet? Well, I was wondering if God needed Adam and Eve to help Him create things. No, not so far. What about the fourth one? The fourth one, He created the great lights, the sun and the moon, the day and the night. Well, what about the fifth one? Well, in the fifth one, He created all the living creatures. Well, what about Adam and Eve? Has He created Adam and Eve yet? Oh, no. No, He hasn't created Adam and Eve yet. What about the sixth day? Oh, on the sixth day, that's when He created Adam and Eve. And He created them in His image. Wow. He didn't need Adam and Eve to help create all this stuff, but on the sixth day, the final day, He created Adam and Eve. And what did He do on the seventh day? So the first day of Adam and Eve's life was a day of rest, because it was all done. When Jesus went on the cross, he said, "It's finished. It's all done. You don't have to work yourself into his acceptance. It is already done for you." In the garden, Adam and Eve could eat for all the trees. Provision was there. How many saw them that they had a relationship with God, and the fruit and the food was available to them, and they were probably pulling some weeds here and there. Now again, I don't even know if they did that much, but they were at peace with God. There was a resting place with God, and they were provided for. How many can see that? And then that little snake came along. Satan. As that is the truth, you cannot eat of all the trees in the garden. He said, "No, we can eat of all the trees except for one," they said. "The one that called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You can't eat of that one. Because if you do, you'll die." Oh, Satan said, "You know, you will not die. You'll become like God." And so it looks tempting, and they took the fruit. Eve looked at it and said, "Man, that is amazing." Satan said, taste it. And he tasted it. And he'd give it to Adam. This is like parents who have two little kids, who obeys daddy, who has authority in the house. But when they become teenagers, they begin to say to daddy, "Daddy, I don't like your rules. I don't like what you do." And Adam and Eve began to challenge God. And how many knows that it can only be one master in the house? And what I see many times when these teenagers grow into be a little bit rebellious, father finally says, "It's time for you to leave." And this is exactly what God said to Adam and Eve. "It's time for you to leave. If you want to rule and reign yourself, go ahead. Be your own master. Go ahead." And they thought they were free. How many has gone and left and went to university and thought you were free? And discovered a whole nother reality. They're free. Now go for it. And then they discovered that they were slaves to sin. And there was a curse on their life. Now they have to sweat to make this ground produce a fruit, produce a crop. With the sweat of the brow, they're trying to turn this land into fertile soil. There was no longer peace. And the slave of sin manifested itself in the first generation. How many heard that? But when Jesus came on the cross, he broke the curse. He broke the curse. Amen. David, a young and true, said he got a letter from this couple a few weeks later. Said they were so excited because when they got that message that it was not their works that would change the circumstance. It was God's provision. They began to believe that God was for them. And it was not all that labor that was changed things. And a buyer came and was so excited about the house that he paid much more money for that house than it was even that ever expected. And they were able to pay the bank off and start a new life. Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on. It's done. It's finished. It says in Hebrews, enter his rest. Be sure to enter that rest today. That's a resting place in God where his provisions flow through you and into you. How many thanks? Thank you, Jesus. The faith is in a Jesus who has already done it for you. It's not your labor. It's not your hard work that earns you his acceptance. It is faith in what he has done for you. In what he says. I want to share one more story. John Wesley. How many heard of John Wesley? John Wesley grew up in a very pious Christian home. The rules were taught. And he was a faithful church server. He prayed 6 times a day. He helped take care of people. Even at one point, he was given a scholarship to Oxford, and he let it go because he wanted to be a chaplain in the prison. Then he went on the boat to go to the United States, to Georgia. And on the boat, they went through a storm. And it looked like they were all going to drown. But there was a group of Christians called Moravians. And they was worshiping and praising God, and he looked at them and he saw a peace that he did not have. And he realized for a moment that he was not where he needed to be with God, not the way they were. They worked hard to keep that boat from going down, but it looked to him that they could actually drown with peace in their hearts. And he said, I don't have that kind of peace. And when he came to the United States, he went to a Moravian church. He listened to a sermon about Luther saying, you're saved not by works, but you're saved by faith. And in that moment, he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And he became one of the instruments of great awakening in the United States, in all of Europe. But it didn't happen until he surrendered and realized how far he was away from God. Are you far away from God this morning? If you only would know the peace that's available to you, to Jesus Christ. Jesus says this. In Matthew 11, he says, if you are heavy laden, if you are burdened down, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I understand from the Middle East, that what they did, they'll take the mother cow, ox, and they'll tie the young one beside it. And it looked like the yoke was going over the young one, but it wasn't. And when the mother ox was pulling and sweating, the little one will run beside it. And looking at the mother and saying, man, you are sweating, mother. Why are you sweating? This is pretty easy. Because the young one wasn't pulling anything. The mother was doing all the load. And Jesus is saying the same in this picture. He's saying, I'm carrying that yoke of heaviness. You just come. I will do the pulling. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Amen. This day, be sure to enter his rest. There's a peace. Okay, let me explain before I end this. Let me explain this way. When I rule, when I reign in my life, I will sweat and have no peace. Even though sometimes I will say, like it says in Jeremiah, peace, peace, but you will have no peace. It will be a cover up and a fake peace. You cannot have peace when you rule and reign your own life. How many has been rebellious teenagers in your life? You don't have to put up your hand, Paul. How did that work for you? Can I ask that? But when God reigns in your life, there is a peace. There is a resting place. That even though I face some horrible things, I know that I have a Father in heaven who is for me and who somehow is going to turn out things out for good. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. But somehow he's going to turn something out that is amazing. Amen. The sovereignty of God in your life, the lordship of God in your life is what brings you peace. And that lordship comes through faith, repentance, and submission. Amen. Jesus. We start out with the scripture that says, in Colossians 3, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. All the way through Jesus' life, you saw how nothing could steal his peace. Even when they mocked him, wanted to stone him, curse him, crucify him, he didn't allow anybody to steal his peace. Where did he get his peace from? From his Father. He was at the center of God's will. Amen. And when he went on the cross, he said, it's finished. I have done everything, Jesus says. This is my own words, of course, but Jesus is saying, I have done everything. So that there is now a covenant forged between you and God. I paid the price for that covenant to exist. And every promise that is given in this book is given to you by faith, not by works. When I read that, I'm humbled to my core. Because it wasn't my works. It wasn't my holiness. It wasn't because I prayed more. It was because he revealed himself to me. And through that, I can truly give thanks. And I can stand here and jump and dance in worship to my King of Kings, who didn't just come into Jerusalem, he came into my heart many years ago. And he's as much alive in me as he was then. And it's through that that I find peace. Is there worries and concerns in my life? Yes, there is. But when that happens, when I'm in the storm and I see the waves, I know where I need to turn to find that peace. I know that there's a place in the heart of the Father where I can rest my bones, where I can rest my heart. Where I know that the best is still to come. Amen. Praise Jesus. Paul, can I have the worship team come? Will you stand with me and I want to pray.